Hello, my name is Heather Alcock. I'm Heritage Conservation Officer for Port Sunlight Village Trust. And today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the architecture of Port Sunlight. William Lever was a frustrated architect. He wanted to be an architect, but at 16, he was forced by his father to leave school and join the family business. I think because of that, and because of his strong interest in improving humanity through their environment, he has always, or was always, very heavily involved in the design process. Now, his son has written that William Lever was a collaborator, not a client. He got involved in the layout of the village, where terrace blocks went. He commissioned design competitions to help pick the best designs for the best spots. He scribbled a massive mind map about how he wanted the village to look when it was about halfway finished. So his village perception, what he really wanted to use for Port Sunlight, was the arts and crafts movement, which relied heavily on materials like terracotta and brick and exposed timber. And the work was all executed in revival style design, so going backwards in architectural history to create a sense of ye old English village. And oftentimes he would have design traditions that would be 100 or 200 or even 300 years apart in reality, side by side. And he selected architects, 29 different architectural practices in total during his lifetime, to produce these drawings for him. So terrace housing, which is, you know, what we have in Port Sunlight to a degree, there's something called a kitchen cottage, where you have, I'll call it a front room. In fact, it was the kitchen, because that's where your range cooker was. So that was the heart of the home, where you were doing most of your cooking, your talking, your living, everything would happen there. And then in the back, a new room for the sort of middle to late 19th century called the scullery. And that was your wet and messy room. So that's where you would wash your food, wash your clothes, wash yourself. Now, a lot of worker housing and even sort of middle class housing, terrace housing of this sort, they weren't gardens, particularly not in places like London and the spa and resort towns like Brighton and Bath and things like that. So the aspect would be onto the street. So when William Lever envisioned his village, he wanted his community of workers to have green views at the front and at the back. And that's how he laid it out. So William Lever designed a community. A great deal of your social activity didn't happen at home. It happened outside the home. It happened in the pub. It happened in the clubhouse. It happened in the schoolyard. The home was for the end of the day. It was your retreat. But the other stuff was meant to happen outside that sphere. Today, in the past 12 months, we all know that's shifted. So we've had to turn our homes into our schoolrooms, into our gymnasiums, into our offices, into a Zoom, you know, quiz night, whatever it might be, where you practice music, where you talk on the phone, everything. It's sort of your home has become everything. And it's not something that Port Sunlight houses were particularly designed to do. So I'm sure it's been a challenge for our community, but also thankfully they have the wonderful green space that William Lever decided was so important for his community.
My name is Sandy Owen. I live at Lower Road in Port Sunlight, and my husband Steve lives here, and our son Charlie. Our eldest son, Dylan, will be hopefully home in the summer, but at the moment he's in university. Charlie is in Wirral Grammar. He's in year 10, so he's doing his GCSEs at the moment. He'll be taking those next year, and he is, at the moment, homeschooling. The school are very organised and prepared, so he has his five lessons a day, so he has five hours worth of schooling. And he has to sign in every morning and at the beginning of every lesson, and the teachers will either... they'll either kind of talk the lesson through them and then set them something at the end, or they'll basically just set a piece of work at the beginning of the lesson and they've got to pass that in at the end of the day. So at the moment, his school day is as it would be is if he were in school. he misses his mates. He misses that side of things. You know, there's no replacement for having that kind of outlet, really, is there? And talking about things and putting things into perspective in your day and things. So I think while he's done well with his schoolwork, he has missed out. We are lucky. We do have two downstairs spaces, so we've actually got the kitchen and two living areas, whereas most of the houses, I think, in the village just have one. So our dining room, in effect, is now my study. It was where I work, and it's where Charlie does his schoolwork as well. So we've actually got two computers in the dining room at the moment. One's got my stuff on it, and one's got Charlie's stuff on it. So we just sit back to back and make each other cups of tea as the day goes by. Fortunately, again, as well, the rooms are quite far away from each other as well, so there's not a lot of traffic that we have to worry about. There's no, you know, Steve doesn't have to kind of like come through our room in order to get to a kitchen or upstairs or anything like that. We know people just literally down the road who've got, you know, four adults living in a space where there's only the kitchen and one living area, and they all four of them have to kind of, you know, struggle to work from home, do homeschooling all together in just one very small living space. So we are really quite lucky, to be honest, that we've been able to just change the dining area into a working space for us. And it also means as well that when I finish work and when Charlie finishes school, we shut the door on that room, and that's work done. I'm just going to tell you about this because I think it's quite funny. Steve and his friends opened an online pub. It's got its own Instagram page. It's called The Goose and Growler. And every Friday night, there's six of them. They all meet up in the dining room on the computer. And he goes to the pub at about 8 o'clock. Sometimes they have stay behinds. Sometimes they leave at last orders. But that is his escape. On a Friday night, he goes to the pub. And that wouldn't have been possible without social media. Not at all. Not without kind of, you know, Zoom or house party or all those types of things. And he's actually seen more of his friends online in the past 12 months than he did the previous 12 months. Because they're all in various places. You know, one of them lives in Leeds, and one, you know, lives in Liverpool, another one, you know, Wallasey and New Brighton and stuff, and they've all got young kids. And you know, they wouldn't have gone to the pub. They wouldn't have physically gone to the pub, but they're all quite happy to sign in and go to the Goose on a Friday night, which I just think is brilliant. And as I say, that's for him as you know, it's utilised our house in a different way as well, because he can just shut himself off on a Friday night and not have to speak to us at all, and the bar's just round the corner in the fridge.
So I'm Anna Grace Dunoyer. I live in the village. I've been here for about 2.5 years. I'm also a writer, and I run a local group, the Port Sunlight People Project. At the peak of the pandemic, or just before the first lockdown, I was walking through the village and admiring the houses, which is just such a beautiful village. But on my walks during that spring, I did wonder who was inside the houses that I was walking past, because I know that there's a lot of elderly people in the village, and a lot of single person households, so I was hoping to do something to support them, which is why I set up the Port Sunlight People Project. The project is a group of volunteers. At the peak, we had 80 volunteers, basically running errands for those who were isolating, or if they were shielding. We'd go food shopping and pick up medications, and also some more frivolous acts, such as supplying craft materials, treats like chocolate, and, you know, all those nice things that people were missing and they couldn't easily go and get for themselves. We also worked with the Port Sunlight Trust to make activity packs for children, growing sunflower packs. And one particular nice memory was an old lady who lived nearby, not far from me actually, just a few doors away, and it was her 80th birthday, and she did have a big celebration planned with her family, but as they all lived away from the village in different cities, unfortunately she was going to be alone for her birthday. So the group all worked together to get lots of balloons, cards, and a nice big birthday cake to drop off on a doorstep, and also arrange for the street to sing happy birthday to her, which was a really nice memory and kind of really displays the community spirit that was happening at that time. So at the moment we're studying the Dell, which is a lovely manicured garden right in the centre of the village, which lots of villagers have the privilege to be able to walk around and to enjoy. But not far from the Dell, about a 5 minute walk away, there's an unused patch of land which is quite near my house. So the idea came to me to use the land for the local community and also neighbouring areas, which are slightly less affluent than Port Sunlight and don't always have the privilege of having a garden or a nice area to walk around, especially during lockdown when it's so needed. So I have approached Port Sunlight Village Trust to use that land for a community garden space, which will include allotments to supply fresh fruit and veg to the local community, and also a wildflower patch which we hope to incorporate into the space as a way to teach children about the importance of bees and pollinators and how that supports the food chain. I think that having that land there for people to use and to grow food on will also support mental health of both people in the local area and surrounding areas, because I know that myself during lockdown I took up gardening, and it was really a saviour to me, and I think that it will be to a lot of other people to have that same opportunity which I had. This is a poem I wrote called In Warmer Months. In warmer months, we may have crossed paths. I was often out with my son. You may have seen me with my dog. Please enjoy the bees' buzzing hum. I listen in to conversations between keen young gardeners, and I wish I could join in. Or potter in my allotment, now left unkempt and overgrown. Please stay at home, love someone's mum.
I was worried about how I was going to get out and stay fulfilled creatively. I'm a freelance photographer. I run a social media marketing business as well. But a lot of my spare time, I'll be traveling to Wales or Scotland, exploring the outdoors and combining two things that I love, travel and adventure and photography as well. My name's Scott Woolley and I run the Pretty Port Sunlight Instagram account. So when the lockdown hit, we were confined to our houses, our rooms for 23 hours a day. At the time, we were blessed with really nice weather. It was just the start of spring, and I was going out in kind of summer clothes with my camera and taking photos of the village, and I felt almost like a tourist in a way in a village that I grew up, which I found quite interesting. I was just taking photos every day. I was uploading them to my Instagram stories. I was getting really good kind of feedback, and people were saying, keep the images coming. It's kind of giving me some form of entertainment whilst I'm kind of stuck in the house 23 hours a day. So I established Pretty Port Sunlight, the Instagram account, and my goal at the time was to just keep taking photos even when the lockdown restrictions eased. And here we are nearly a year later, and I've managed to shoot all of the four seasons. Winter's been a bit harder to shoot. I think autumn was probably one of my favourites, just because the whole village kind of turned. There was just this golden light pretty much running through right the way through October, all the golden leaves as well. So it was very kind of aesthetically pleasing and, a fun season to shoot. But what I like about the Pretty Port Sunlight account is that I'm able to get out and shoot every day. So, my kind of desk overlooks the art gallery. So if I capture any nice light or I'm inspired to go out and shoot, I can kind of go and do that at the drop of a hat as well. So one of the things that's really helped me in my mental health through lockdown is being able to have a new creative project that I can focus on, because a lot of the landscapes that I'd usually be shooting, the outdoors and fun activities and that, then I'm unable to do because Wales has been closed for most of the past year as well, and Scotland as well, so I've been forced to kind of shoot locally. As a photographer, one of the things I've started to kind of recently learn maybe over the past couple of years is, as a photographer, your job isn't to photograph a subject, it's to photograph light on a subject. And one of the things that I quickly noticed when I was walking around the village is you get some gorgeous light bouncing off buildings, doorways and things like that. And I really didn't want the account to be almost like a kind of tourism promotion of the village. I didn't want it to just be a photo of the art gallery, a photo of the Dell, all the kind of famous landmarks. Yes, I've shot those places. I wanted it to be more of a kind of a feel and a mood, make you feel a certain way as you're looking through the images. So I was quite specific about shooting things that just stood out to me. And a lot of that would be, light bouncing off doorways and alleyways and things like that.